Pinkies, this is the Faye Driver. We're out for a little bit of fun. I know it's noisy. I'm sure you can tell we're driving Manuel today. And we have lots and lots of chores. It's going to be one of those snipped up episodes where there's lots of interruptions. But I have so much to tell you about. I've been so busy. It's been so long since we've spoken. And I must tell you all the exciting things that have happened. Not the least of which is my fleet. I have two new cost centers in my fleet now. And I'll tell you all about those. Oh, my goodness gracious. And can we just talk about the car buying process? Like, what a gong show that is. Oh my God, this is like pulling teeth to buy a new vehicle from people. Oh, well, we're going to talk about that. And I need to talk about what's going on at work. I've got job offers. And something else happened at my work, which is going to make your head pop off. Like, I'm seriously. My grammar is so, I'm so excited I can barely talk. But when you hear what's been happening around my work site, your head literally is going to explode. So we're going to talk about those things today, if we can get to it. Oh my goodness, it's a beautiful day. Hot, hot, sunny day. What do we got? 73 Fahrenheit, and it's not even 10 o'clock in the morning. System ready. And a hot, hot, sunny day. So we're going to attempt to behave ourselves today as I go about my myriad chores. I'm telling you, I got so many little, you know those little piddly, niggling chores, like empty the shredded paper, and I gotta install a plug, and I have to drill more holes into my pool. Anyway, so that's what we're out and about today, to try to bring some resolution to all these little minor little dinky little chores. Plus, I gotta get a haircut. You should see my hair. All right, first of all, okay, let's just calm down, Faye. Let's get through some of these major incidents that are occurring in my life. First of all, let's talk about my hair. Can we talk about my hair? I gotta tell you about this shampoo incident. Now, I have been trying to get conditioner for my head. Now, I have a head of hair which is like a Brillo pad. That's really the best description for the top of my head. Is it's wiry and coarse. It feels, my hair feels like hay, like straw that you would feed to your cow. So, I need some conditioning agents in my hair. You know, okay, I'm just gonna get some conditioner. That's easy. Put it on the shopping list. Anybody, it's certainly there's conditioner out there in the world. So I go to Costco, and you know, when I go to Costco, I just like, get me in and out of here. I want to get away from this place as quickly as I can. So, okay, I'm in Costco. I'm zipping through the aisles, I'm down there looking for conditioners, whatever. You know, they come in like horse carriage size, right? So I see this thing that says conditioning, whatever, hydrating, moisturizing. I'm thinking, oh, look, good, that's terrific. And it's a two-pack, so probably one of them is conditioner and one of them is shampoo. That's fine. I can deal with that. Give me that one. I grab it off the shelf. I take it home, and it's a two-pack of shampoo. It says in dinky little, teeny little, almost invisible letters that it's shampoo. So, I blew that. I don't need shampoo. I need conditioner. So, okay. Oh, fuck. I got all this. Now I got all this shampoo. Like keg size shampoo. Well, I'll put it on my list again. I go to a different store, not Costco. Go to Safeway. And, okay, I need conditioner. Go to the shampoo aisle. I'm looking at all these bottles. Oh, hydrating, moisturizing, know, all these wonderful attributes about how magnificent your hair is going to be, silky and soft and wet and moist. So, okay, good, I'll grab 2-3 bottles. One's black, one's white, whatever. I grab a bottle, again, a rather large size bottle, I might add. Like, it's like a gallon or something. And, well, maybe 2 quarts. I get it home. Again, it's the fucking conditioning moisturizing shampoo. So I don't want shampoo. I want conditioner. Just conditioner. And so, okay, you know what? Obviously, my brain is not smart enough to deal with this massive request. Too confusing. So I go with Mr. Anderson. We go shopping. Let me tell you, people, when you take Mr. Anderson shopping, you might as well just tie a fucking brick to your 2 feet. It's like walking around the store with lead sandals on. He's so slow. He's got to look at this. All right, we're not talking about that. So, okay, Mr. Anderson, I need conditioner. I'm going to grab this. Does this look like conditioner to you? I think it says conditioner, and he looks at it, of course. Now, the problem here is exacerbated by the fact that we're both blind now. We have lost all of our youthful energy. The DNA is falling down around us, and we can't see. The eyes are gone. So, again, even with Mr. Anderson's input, what do you think we brought home from the grocery store? Not conditioner, no sir. Just shampoo. Gonna be doing a little bit of quartering here for a little minute. Third gear, 65 miles an hour, 4,000 RPM, coming up to this roundabout. Second gear, 4,500. Left foot braking, just a touch. Yep, nice little hop around that roundabout. Lovely. And into this hard corner. Lots of bicyclers here. We'll just grab a gear. That was very nice. That was a very good entry speed. I like that, 65 miles an hour. All right, back to the fleet report. I have to tell you about our most recent acquisitions. I have a new item in my fleet that needs constant care. Every day you need to check the levels on it to make sure it's operating with the proper level of fluids and what have you. Whenever somebody gets into it, they make it dirty. People generally only get into it like once or twice a day, and it just sits there for the whole rest of the time, not doing anything, just burning energy. So I know you're thinking, well, this is sounding kind of like a car. I have to vacuum it all the time. But I've come to learn that owning a pool is a major maintenance commitment. Like, it's a daily affair. Every day I'm doing something. Checking the poison levels in it. Adding chemicals. It's too, pH is too low. Put some in. What's the chlorine level at? So, I'm telling you, man. Baron Frosty, why did you not warn me of this impending doom I would be facing? I hold you responsible. So, there's that. So that's got me quite busy. Not to mention the fact that I can't get the damn thing warm. Keep trying to get it heated up. It's so cold. We live in Canada, for Christ's sake. You can't have a pool in Canada without applying some sort of heating system to it. So that's a struggle. So this pool, it's just like owning a boat, for Christ's sake. It has a bunch of water. All you do is pour money into it. God. Oh, my miserable life. All right. So that's one new asset to deal with constantly is the pool. Now, I have to tell you about... Now, Mr. Anderson... Okay, so... Mr. Anderson got a new scooter. So I have to tell you about... Like, I'm not going to get into... Whatever. His old scooter was turning into a money pit. Just fixing it all the time. I could just see that I would be fixing it all the time. So, whatever. You don't care about this. We made a decision. Mr. Anderson needs a new scooter. Okay, we'll look for a bunch of scooters. So, you know, the whole buying process of doing research and stuff, it's mentally draining. It's like, it's a never-ending process. You gotta compare this one to that one. Oh, I like this model here. How many kilometers per gallon does it get? And what's the CCs? How much weight can it carry? What does that cost? Is it going to carry my toothpicks and my sandals? And, you know, all of this, looking into all these values and the amount of research that you need to do just to be able to figure out which one you want. Is this the one? Is it going to meet my needs? But let me tell you about, I got to tell you about the buying process, like the purchasing process. Walking into a motorcycle store and saying, all right, look, I got this money, and you got that motorcycle. That's the one I want. Let me buy that from you. Well, when we get back, folks, I'm going to tell you about the rigmarole that we had to go through to get to buy, to give a company my hard-earned money, cashola, into my hand. But they just don't want it. Anyway, we'll talk later. I'm at my first stop. Okay, Pinkies. I gotta tell you, it is scorching hot out here. So I'm going to do you the service of driving around with the air conditioning on, just for you. Normally I wouldn't, you know. I would just drive with my windows open and enjoy the heat. All right, let's get back to this. So, me and Mr. Anderson decide the old 650 Bergman scooter is finished. Time to liquidate that asset and get a new scooter. So we do a bunch of research. We look on the internet. We look for all the whatever the information, inventory for this vendor and that vendor. We figure everything out and we go, okay, let's go to this place. We walk in the store. We find a salesman. Now, this all started at 10 a.m. in the morning. We find a salesman. We say, I think I want to buy this bike. I'd like to test drive it. The first thing he says is, oh, well, how far do you want to go? Because we can't have people racking up kilometers on these things. We will never sell them. Now, what kind of a paradoxical statement is that? We don't want you to ride this because we want to sell it. Like, that's the most inane excuse I've seen. All right, so we convince him that we're pretty viable buyers. I'm not going to buy something without driving the fucking thing. God. All right, so we decide on the machine. I'm standing there. I have money. I'm standing here with money in my hand, ready to give to you. You're right in front of us. There's this motorcycle. You have the keys for it. I want to give you this money. You give me those keys, and then we'll be done. We'll get on our way. Now, you'd think that shouldn't take long, right? You should be able to do that in a reasonable period of time. It took us 6 fucking hours to drive away with that scooter from the time of saying, I want this bike. Here's my money. Give me the fucking thing so I can go home. But no, of course. No, well. All right, now. We were trading in the old beast, the old garbage truck. $6.50. And so, admittedly, I recognize they need to test drive it. They want to give it a value. That's no problem. I come back in an hour and a half. You know, that's an allowable. An hour and a half is an... that's reasonable to me. So that they can look at the machine, poke around at it, see what's wrong with it, come up with a value for us and say, okay, we'll give you this number. But folks, I'm not arguing on the price. I will buy this machine for the sticker price, the number that you wrote on the ticket, and I'll pay you any way you want. I can give you a credit card. I can give you cash. It turns out, we don't take credit cards because that costs too much. They get dinged by the credit card company, so that's not happening. Well, can I write you a check? I'm good for it, I swear to God. Well, no, we don't take personal checks. Well, who do you think you are? We'll only take a bank draft. So now we gotta go get a fucking bank draft for a piddly amount. It's just crazy. So then we get tied up in that rigmarole. We gotta go find a bank somewhere. We gotta get this money, transaction fees, yada, yada, yada. So we go, we deal with that. All right, I got my money. Here you go. I have the money. Can I have the keys? Well, no. Then we have to see the sales manager. Of course, this is all after. We said, I'll give you this much money. I'll pay sticker price. You give me this for my trade. Throw in a set of heated grips. And Bob's your uncle. We got a deal. Let's do it. Come on. Oh, well, we got to check with the general manager to see if he approves. We'll do. I'll be right back. Of course, our salesman is dealing with all kinds of other customers, too. And that's fine. I understand that. I am a customer. I want to be served. Other customers need to be served. This is not the issue. But all this back and forth. So we get the deal approved by the manager. Then we had this thing with We can't just take money for that. We need money that's signed by the bank. You know, your plain old cash isn't good enough. Who the fuck do you think you are? Then we go to the sales manager. She has to sign. Oh, I see. Yes, you have a check. It's a real check. Here. Now, sign here. Sign here. Now, I have to sign this. Nobody else in the building can accept this bank draft. Viable, cashable, just like cash that's not cash money check. And it's the fucking weekend. You'd think that they were making a lot of sales. They'd have more than one person in the shop who could accept your cash money check. Oh my God. Then we got to do the insurance agent. And we get that all done. Then the guy's, where's the bike now? Can I just have the fucking keys? Give me my plate. I want my keys and I can go. Then the salesman had the keys and, it's in the shop. Can do this and that. It's just such a fucking rigmarole. Can you tell how frustrating? Like, and this is just a dinky little scooter, for Christ's sake. I gotta say that was the most convoluted vehicle purchasing process I've ever been through when I've bought any kind of vehicle. Vehicles worth much more than $5,000. Like, fuck. I couldn't believe how long it took. We waited for 3.5 hours. We were just waiting for other people to do something. That's not including the checking, the valuation on the old scooter. That's after, yes, we agree, this scooter is worth this much. The old one, this value trade-in, yes. Throw in the goodies, yes. Okay, here's the number. All right, let's go. Take my cash. Give me the keys. I want to go. Wait 3 hours for all the little tick boxes to be filled in. There is some serious super sports car. It's a Ferrari that I can't recognize. Maybe a California? That's a beauty. Red and black. So, we did it. Mr. Anderson has a new scooter now. He's happy as a pig in shit. For those of you that care, it's the Yamaha 155cc scooter. Single piston engine scooter. It's a very nice little machine. I've not driven it. It's not for me. Mr. Anderson loves it. And he's no longer driving that big, monstrous pig. That old scooter was such a big, heavy pig. 510 pounds empty. It was a brute. I kind of hated that thing. And it was going to be starting to cost too much money. But anyway, it's gone. We have a new scooter. Everybody's happy. No more scooter purchasing for 5 years. All right, now, I know you need to know about, you want to know about my work, job opportunity. People are pressuring me at work. They want me to take this job that I don't think I want. So I've had to consider all these options. Do I want to change my life, work style, different, not four on, four off, just a completely different, like basically working like a normal human 5 days a week, 8 hours a day. Oh my God, I can't think of anything that's more disturbing to me than working 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. Oh, but there's value in that position. I don't know. Anyway, these people have been, I've been getting pitched by people from this other department in my work who want me to come work for them. Like, oh, so now you gotta consider all these options. Do I want, is that what I want? I don't think that's what I want. But what if this is the last opportunity ever? You may never get another chance, Faye. You're gonna be stuck in your dead-end job for the rest of your life. Anyway, I got some thinking to do about that, whether I'm going to take a new position or not. Oh, it's just so daunting. Working with a bunch of other people, what if they're all mental cases? Like, I know who the mental cases are right now that I work with. I'm quite happy with the mental cases I have. It's the devil you know, right? I don't know if I want to make a job change. There's no financial benefit to it. It's just a lifestyle change. I like this life. I'm a well-paid beach bum. I don't want to give up my night shift terrors. I will tell you one thing, though. Because I'm getting so old, my eyes are just done. They're giving up. My eyes, nope. I'm fucking dispatching by feel now, for Christ's sake. I cannot read the little words on the screen. They're so tiny, and they all look alike. Some words look the same as other words. And how do you tell a 1 from an L at 3 o'clock in the morning? I got some cause for concern there, too. Am I going to be able to do this job? Staying up 14-hour night shifts? Oh. Anyway. So that's that. Enough about that. Now, are you ready to have your head blown off, boys and girls? Because I got a big story to tell you, and it's a good news story, and it's gonna blow your mind. All right, let me give you some background. In case you've never met me before, and you know nothing about me, here's the situation. All right, now, I work for a fire department, and it's a small, it's not a very big department, it's a municipal city fire department. We have about 200 men in our fire department, regular firefighters. So that's split up. There's 4 shifts, so 50 guys a shift. So it's a pretty small organization. It's pretty tight-knit. And guys have been working there with each other. Some of these guys are really long-term. So I'm talking about a guy, a firefighter, who just retired. He's a relatively young man. He's just barely 50, just into his early 50s. And he just retired. Just like 2 months ago, the guy left the fire department after working there for 30 some odd years, probably 35 years. Got hired really young, came up through the ranks, became a lieutenant, then a captain, really well respected fireman guy, super masculine dude, like, you know, one of these guys who does marathons and works out every day and only eats 9 grams of fat a day and one of those vegetarian freakazoid people. So, like, super healthy guy. He retires. 2 months later, he gets found out as being a transgendered female. He transitioned. Basically, the day after he retired, he transitioned and became a transgender female. And, like, you can imagine the surprise of all of my fireman buddies in the fire department. This was like a major, major shock and big news, and it just busted out all over the place. And of course, there was a certain amount of tee-hee, you know, laughing, and there was just a little bit of this, can you believe it, and incredulity, and her name, his, you know, this can feel, he's now a she, and so a little bit of this sort of misogynistic, homophobic talk. But I have to tell you how proud I am of the department that I work for and the people who work in it, because they quickly got over that sort of initial shock, and a lot of people are sympathizing with the guy and saying how horrible it was for him to have lived like 35 years and worked in such a masculine, you know, such a masculine dominated work environment. And a lot of people are sort of feeling like what a horrible thing for him to have to live with, and how they sort of are sad that he wasn't able to come out earlier. She wasn't able to come out earlier. I mean no disrespect when I confuse her gender pronouns. I have every ounce of respect for this girl. So, it swept through the fire hall like a wildfire. Someone saw her downtown, dressed as a girl, and then the word got out, and then it was confirmed, and then that transgendered female wrote a blanket email message to every member of our department saying, yes, it's true, I've lived all my life like this, I've always known it wasn't right, blah blah blah, I'm now, this is my name, girly girl name, and I'm a girl now. And then it was very matter of fact. It was a wonderful email. And I kind of only feel bad that he got outed, but I think overall it's the best thing that could have happened. And we know from being homosexual males, being out is just so much easier. So she's out. The chaplain of our fire department wrote an email message saying, listen, this is our friend. We've known her all our lives. This is nothing new. It's only something merely we know new about what was our brother. She is now our sister. We may not understand completely, but it's our duty and our bond as brothers in arms to support our brother sisterhood. So a super positive, affirming message from the chaplain. And then, if that's not enough, the fire chief, the head honcho, the big man himself, writes a letter to say, to all of the whole entire department to say, we support everybody who works for us. Every single person is an important and integral piece and part of this department, and we need to support our transgendered brothers and sisters as well. So, like, just from the top to the bottom, even in the membership, just all kinds of acceptance for this guy. So I'm a little bit at a lack of words to say how proud I am to work in this, with this group, with my city, and with these guys and girls that I work with every day. It really affirmed for me that this is the right place, that I'm at the right place in my life, I'm doing the right thing, and I'm working for a really magnificent organization. So I'm pulling for all of our transgendered brothers and sisters, and anybody who's not a normal person. Because, you know, none of us are that normal. I'm not a normal person. I don't think you're very normal if you're listening to this. So, power to the freaks and the geeks. All right, I got more to talk about. I have much more to tell you. I'm not sure we're gonna get any more. What are you doing, fucking bicyclers? Like, this is such a nice corner, and I got busted up by a bicycler. You ruined my corner. Obviously, I'm going to have to take this car and ream it out some other place where there's no bicyclers. All right, in case you don't hear from me again, I am the Faye Driver. This is the Pink Wheel Nuts podcast. You can email me at podcast@pinkwheelnuts.com. I have follow-ups about Honda Fits and other things to talk about. Come back. Come back and hear more. All right, let's get some windows open. I want to turn off this ice cream machine.